to myself.
Okay. Glad to have you with us, everybody, as we start this study of Genesis.
Hey, yeah, thank you. And so we talked about what could we do that would be a significant undertaking that might be able to get us through this semester, and really landed on Genesis pretty quickly. Just a fundamental kind of book. Hey, Bernie, thank you. So what we plan to do, now the thing about Genesis that's intimidating is that it is huge and it is all over the place. And so as we talked, what we do, we will go chronological. In other words, we will go through the book of Genesis, but we are not going to go verse by verse. Genesis, it is okay to read that way, but to really study Genesis, you need to spend some time with the characters that you'll meet. You need to wrestle with some sort of bigger themes that we run into. And some of those are so well represented that it would be very hard to just go verse by verse as we've done. So we'll go largely early on, we'll go chapter by chapter, or we'll be in chapters for a while. We'll have some thematics as we get into this further. I suspect there'll be lots of days where we may spend a week or more in some cases on a particular character and the themes and things that that character represents and brings to the story. So it will be a little different than what we've done in the past, but we think for this book it will work well. And as always, we encourage lots of questions. We hope that there'll be opportunities to think about things in a new way. And we think this book is a really great one for the way that we're going to try and approach it.
Yeah, I think actually, interestingly, the book of Genesis is one of those books that people know a lot about or have thought a lot about. Generally, the very beginning of Genesis, you've got these first couple chapters that have gotten a lot of press, the idea of in the beginning God created. And so for that, Genesis kind of has a reputation of being that very early kind of text. What a lot of people don't know if they've not read Genesis relatively closely is how deep the stories go, how very important the characters are. So as Clint said, you know, we're going to take a couple days to sort of slowly lay out some of a plan and a little bit of a background upon why this book is so important. I think one of the reasons for that is because if you jump right into Genesis and you start going by verse, you might easily sort of get caught up in that idea that this book is all about how God creates and not the story of how God draws near to God's people, how this marks the beginning of God's covenant, God's choice to be involved in the life of the people, even the people who so quickly spoil the good intention, the good creation that God put into place. So I think that this is a really essential book. And I also want to make a plug for the fact that I think ultimately Genesis becomes a backbone upon which the rest of the Bible stands. It begins the themes that you see teased through, and that goes all the way into the New Testament, which I think we're going to expound upon more in another conversation. But it's really important that we take our time to see these characters, but I do think we would easily get pretty bogged down if we tried to do every verse in succession. So we're going to try to balance that. And of course, you know, we'd be open to feedback as we go along. If there's a section as we're going that you'd be interested in, you know, we'd be happy to hear more about that.
Yeah, so I think there are two struggles when it comes to the book of Genesis. The first is that many of us learned it as a kid, and we learned it with foam board characters, felt board characters. We learned big picture stories that sometimes we never went back and revisited and really mined the depths of. You know, we learned creation, we learned the flood, but we didn't wrestle as children with some of the deeper, sometimes even darker themes that are in those stories. And so we want to revisit them. And the second mistake that we make, to your point, Michael, is that we read Genesis for things that it honestly isn't very interesting in telling us. So we try to read Genesis as modern science, which it isn't. We try to read it through the lens of the 21st century, which it isn't. And when we do that, we miss these kind of deeper things that are in it for us. So to really do justice to Genesis, I think you have to... you have to be willing to meet it where it is rather than try to drag it to where you are. And I think that's one of the reasons that we're not going verse by verse. In other words, there are lots, historically, there are lots of people who have gone verse by verse through Genesis, and they will tell you, this is what this thing means on this day, and this is the way it happened and why it happened. But in order to do that, you are trying to have Genesis answer modern questions, which it largely isn't interested in doing. And to really, I think, understand and live into this book, it takes just the opposite. You have to be willing to take a trip to its world so that you can understand the people who wrote it and told these stories and lived these stories, what they found of truth and faith in them.
I'm not sure what you think about this, Clint. I really, my family doesn't have a lot of Genesis stories. Some families do. You know the generational process and the generational path. My family doesn't have that. And so for me, it's a little bit of a different experience as people of faith. When I situate myself in the family of Christianity, this is a part of that story. But if you came from a family where maybe, you know, Uncle John told you all of the stories about grandmother, great-grandmother, or, you know, maybe that story of immigration, maybe it was the story of coming to the Midwest and it's finding a place where your family would farm, or whatever those sort of Genesis stories are, they're important not just because of their historical context. I mean, that is important unto itself, but they're important because they situate you in a larger story filled with the characters who both had strengths and weaknesses. They did good things and they did bad things, and they give you a frame or a reference for the decisions and choices that you should make in the future. Hence why, you know, some of us do have that sense, oh, well, you know, that's a very Lovell thing to do, or that's a very Gawecki thing to do. That this is a book that really situates us in a historical context for a real particular people. Here are the men and women who were instrumental in this family moving forward. And this is very clearly relevant for the people of Israel, for the nation that is chosen. But as Christians, as we look ahead, we become engrafted into this. If you joined us for the Roman study, that's exactly what Paul was talking about, this idea that we're grafted into this larger narrative. And so it's fitting then that we turn to this text and we see in it the good news of how we fit into this larger family story.
Yeah, and I want to be very careful here because we will have to bear this out in lots of conversation. But we do need to understand that when we read the book of Genesis, we are reading faith history. We are reading history in the sense that the people who told these stories were telling them to explain some of the world they lived in. They were telling them to carry on the lineage of the people. They felt that their children ought to know how it had come to be that they were a people, why they lived and where they lived, and those kind of questions. There's a lot of that kind of explanation in the book of Genesis. What is more difficult is the question, is Genesis factual history? And I would argue that while the clear assumption of the people was yes, the way they told these stories assumed that they believed in the veracity and truth of them, you will also find, if you read Genesis carefully, that they're okay with ambiguity. We're not going to get hardly at all into the book of Genesis, where we're going to see that the people who treasured these stories first were okay with some looseness in them. And I think if we get caught up, we have tended in the modern church, particularly the evangelical church, to get very bogged down in the question of whether Genesis is factual history. And to be honest, I don't know that it's a particularly helpful question for most of the book. In fact, I think it has gotten in the way so often that it is largely unhelpful in many instances. But don't worry if that doesn't make sense, if that sounds problematic, if that sounds troubling. Bear with us, and we'll have lots of opportunities to talk about it. But it's a way in which I think people have struggled to know what to do with the book of Genesis.
You mentioned this in passing a little bit earlier, Clint, and I think it's just worth reprising, is how many of the stories of this book get included in children's Bibles. And it's really, really interesting because as you get to know more and more about Genesis, what you're going to come to learn is so many of these stories are familiar until you read them with a closer view. And when you come to them with an adult's vantage, the themes of this book, things like Abraham going to the promised land, things that these are generally positive stories in the children's Bible. In the text itself, they're very complicated. They're very nuanced. They're full of all of the questions and doubts and fears and sometimes even backbiting and jealousy that we know from our experience of the world. What makes, I think, the Bible so credible, Clint, is that it doesn't shy away from the experience of being human. In other words, these characters aren't polished. They're not sort of wax figures that we put in a museum. They are real people. And the text is so honest and authentic in its telling of those lives. I think it, as people of faith, is a very beautiful sort of invitation to live in the words of Genesis for a while, because I think it'll help us to adopt that for ourselves.
Yeah, there's a wonderful looseness in this that, you know, reminds us that the people who told these stories knew things about them that we have forgotten, that we don't know. Why was Abel's sacrifice better than Cain's? We don't know. We take some guesses based on the language. They probably understood that question in a way that we don't. There are other places where characters do things that are clearly sinful, that they're clearly considered outside the bound of righteous behavior, and yet they're sort of praised for it. There is a kind of a Middle Eastern appreciation for shrewdness and for trickery in this text that is very telling of when and where these stories came from. And again, if we can only look through the lens of our modern sensitivities, we're going to struggle with some of those. There are things we can't answer about this, but if we can understand them, we can better hear this text speak to us. And I think, you know, again, we're not going to get very far into the story before we start bumping into some of those things. And I think that's what makes Genesis so fascinating, is if they made an attempt to sanitize this book to make the people of faith look like heroes, they did a very poor job. There is an honesty to this book about our situation as humans that I think is trustworthy. I think it's appealing. I think it's real.
Yeah, I don't want to steal too much thunder for future conversations, other than to say, it would be wrong to finish a conversation, an introductory conversation on Genesis, without making it clear that the thing that this book does beautifully is it sets up the rest of the scriptures with the major character. And the major character is none of these people that Clint was describing. It is God. It is the one who calls, who goes with, who in some senses suffers with all of the fallen humanness of these people. And the beauty of that is we're now making that introduction to the one who has a plan that overarches the entire scriptures, gets started in this place. And so I hope that you'll commit to being part of that journey as we go through it, because it is a really compelling image for us in our own lives to see that God is doing the same work in our own beginning and ultimately in our own end. God is faithful. And that arc happens through the whole way.
Yeah, very good. And we're grateful that you would be a part of it. We hope that you'll continue to join us. This week, we'll probably be doing some of this introductory work as we get ready to kind of open the text, either Thursday, most likely Monday. But tomorrow, we'll continue to think about how it is that we read this book. How can we approach Genesis in a way that allows us to get the most out of it and to hear it most clearly.
Yeah, there's plenty of time to get on board. So if you know someone who you think would appreciate it, be sure to send an invite, because they will in no way have been left behind. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 2:00. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.